What up? Welcome to the Parenting Point Blank podcast. I'm your host, Parker Pass. Thank you for joining me today. Before we dive into the topic for today of being a better parent at school, go ahead and hit that like, subscribe, or follow button. And something new this week in the show notes below, click the link. If you have a question, you can send it to us and we will look into putting you on our show. So that's pretty cool. I'm excited about that. Would love to hear from the audience to get a better idea of the things that you are struggling with, that you're wondering about, and get some fresh perspectives on what's going on with our kids. Also new on the show today, we'll have a new segment coming up, so stay tuned to learn a little bit more about that when it gets here. So let's dive in. Schools need parents way more than you think they do. So we're going to talk a little bit today about how you can be a supportive parent for your school, for your kid. And this does not mean that you got to be up there every time the PTA has a meeting. Fully recognize many of you are working or have other things and places you need to be. And so you can't be up at the school every time the doors are open to help make copies and do a crossing guard and all that. That's not what we're going to talk about in this. We're actually going to talk about some of the basics of how the school needs you, and some of the things you can do to support the school. And then what to do a little bit more advanced that also is not going to require you to leave your job all the time and be up at the school or be there, you know, late hours, that kind of thing. So let's dive into the basics. First off, let's talk the parking lot. Sometimes these parking lots in schools look like the Wild Wild West, and it's crazy. And it's the parents. Do not speed in the school parking lot or in the school zone. That's wildly dangerous, especially if you're around an elementary school. It's dangerous anywhere, but especially in elementary school because those kids are so prone to running in the middle of the street because they don't know the danger there. And you're going to make a pancake of a child. So stop speeding. I guarantee you the 2 or 3 or 4 or 7, 10 miles an hour extra that you are adding is not going to make you on time to work any sooner. The answer to that question is leave earlier. The next thing that we see a lot in a school parking lot is parents trying to go the wrong way. Schools control the traffic specifically for safety and to keep kids safe, to get kids into the building safely and out of the building safely. You trying to go the wrong way because it's more convenient or because it's faster, again, is those 30 seconds you save are not going to make the difference as to whether you're late or on time or not to whatever your next thing is. You should have left earlier. And you're teaching your kids that it is okay to break the law or to put other people in danger because you poorly planned. Let me repeat that. You speeding or trying to go the wrong way in a school zone or in a school parking lot is teaching your child that their peers don't matter. It's more important for you to be on time to the next soccer practice or to work. That is wild. And your kids are picking that message up and they're going to go and do the same thing with their kids when it's their turn to be a parent. So, if I could say anything, slow down, leave a little earlier. In my house, we actually set all of our clocks 10 minutes ahead. We still sometimes leave a little too late, but we still set all of our clocks 10 minutes ahead to try and get us out of the house on time. And it's actually made a big difference because we set all clocks to align on this, and most of the time we'll glance up at the clock on the wall in the morning instead of the phone. We're getting ready, and so we try to shoot, have everything ready to go by 6 o'clock. So really, when it shows 6 o'clock, it's actually only 5:50 in my house. And that allows us an extra 10-minute buffer to, oh, maybe we forgot to make the little one go use the bathroom before we leave to work. Or maybe I need to go do some, put the dog's food out, whatever it is. That's made a big difference. And so it also, same thing, our alarms go off 10 minutes before the actual time. So we set our alarm at 5 o'clock. It's actually 4:50. And I get it. 10 minutes can make a big difference. But again, that planning is key. Go to bed earlier. Don't speed in the parking lot because you're late. Don't try to go the wrong way because you're late. You're putting other kids in danger, and that's wrong. And you're teaching your kids that other people are not nearly as important as being on time. I think you got it backwards. People are important, so leave earlier to be on time if that is also important to you. The next piece of the basics that we're going to talk about is answer the phone. I can't tell you how many times I have had a child in a medical emergency, and I have called every number for the parents on the list, and they don't answer, or they don't text back, or they don't call back. That's wild to me. I can definitely understand, you know, you're at work, maybe you're in an important meeting, and so you don't immediately answer the phone because I understand you get a lot of calls from the schools. But when you get multiple calls from the same numbers, same school numbers, and you don't call back, that to me is an issue. It's a red flag. You've got to be able to pick up the phone in those situations to see what's going on with your kid. Now, schools should also not abuse that to call you 17 times to ask what your plans are for the field trip. That's something that not nearly as important as a medical emergency. But keep your numbers up to date with the school. Keep your emails up to date with the school. Those things will go a long way in making sure that you are in the loop for whatever is going on and you get keep informed. The other piece that I would mention here, and I see this actually a lot, is don't block the school number. I can't tell you how many parents we deal with at times, and we start looking through and come to find out the phone number that the school uses to send out mass communications is actually blocked. And so it's no wonder that you didn't know what was going on with that field trip or that party that you needed to send a certain type of shirt on Friday because you didn't get the message. And this next piece kind of goes along with that. You should know how to access report cards and behavior reports because almost all of that is online. You do not have to wait for the school to send on a progress report or a report card or a discipline letter to know how your kid is acting and behaving at school. It's also our responsibility as parents to be able to access those systems. So in my case, we divide. We have two kids, so I look at the older one, and I know how to get into all of his report card stuff, his behavior stuff, and my wife handles the younger one because she is much better with that app. So that's how we divide it, and each week with the older one, I log in. I have a reminder on my phone that pops up with the link to that site, and I just click the link when it pops up, and I go and check his grades, and I send a screenshot of his grades to a group chat that we have. And that's how we know, is he doing well? What classes does he need some help in? Is he going to earn some playtime on the PlayStation? That kind of thing. With the younger one, my wife also happens to work at the school. We're both educators. And so beyond the app, right, she's there all the time working. I don't recommend that you do that if that is not your thing, right? Don't become an educator unless you actually want to. But at the end of the day, as a parent, it is up to you to be informed of what's going on. The school is publishing so much information on social media, sending home actual physical papers, which may or may not get to you, and I understand that's not really under your control. However, you can teach your kid responsibility and the importance of bringing those things home, but that's a different issue, and we can talk about that in a different show. But the school's also sending out text message blasts, email blasts. They're posting things on their website. If you don't know what's going on as a parent, it's your fault. And on the flip side of that, you can also fix that problem. You don't need to wait for the school to do that. Like, you can reach out and say, hey, I don't know what's going on. I'm uninformed. How can I get connected? And typically a front office area, a receptionist of some kind, will be able to help you get set up on your kid's school information, their grade level, all that kind of stuff, so that you now know about everything going on and can stay informed and up to date on what all's going on in your kid's life. And one last thing here on the basics of being the awesome supportive parent that your school needs, send your kids to school when the weather's not great. Now, obviously, if the school's closed down, don't send your kid. Right? And nobody's going to be there. Nobody's going to open the door. And you're going to be stuck out in the snow or in a monsoon or whatever. Don't do that. But if the school is open, make sure to get your kid there. This is something that we see really frequently with some of our high flyers in terms of absences. And we'll, you know, they'll actually come in one day and well, hey, where have you been? What's going on? Thinking, you know, maybe they're working or maybe they've had a death in the family and so they've been out or something to that effect. And most frequently the answer is, I just didn't feel like coming and so my mom didn't make me. Or I didn't want to come because of such and such class and so dad didn't take me to school. This is a really wild response, actually, because you're allowing, as a parent, you're allowing your 14, 15, 16-year-old, or even younger sometimes, to make an adult decision that they are not yet ready to make. Humans, as a whole, like comfort. We like ease. We will choose easy over hard all the time, unless there is a clear benefit for the hard. And that's exactly why you see the same obesity epidemic in the U.S. People choose easy, i.e. fast food, bad food, that kind of thing, over hard, you know, healthy food. They choose easy, sitting on the couch and watching TV and playing video games versus going out and exercising and running or whatever. Your child, even though they're a teenager and they may have a lot of adult, they have a lot of ability to reason as an adult, they are not ready to make that adult decision. That's where you as a parent have to step up and be a parent and say, hey, I get it. You don't feel like going to that math class today. Maybe you don't like that teacher. And it's just like life. Sometimes you might have a boss that you don't like, and you're going to have to go in because you have bills to pay. You have family to provide for. By allowing your kid to opt out of school in that way, you are allowing them to learn habits of irresponsibility that will fail them as an adult. As an adult, you don't get the option to just opt out. You have to show up. You have to continue to produce. Otherwise, you end up with consequences that you don't want. Nobody wants to live in a box bound by the river, to quote the Chris Farley show from Saturday Night Live. That's not what you want for your kids. It's not good for them. So you as a parent, you got to step up. Make sure your kid goes to school. So I've also been asked, what do you do when you've already had habit of letting your kid opt out? How do you change that? And that's going to go back to a couple of things. One, you've got to incentivize school and good grades. What that looks like in your house will differ by what you are able to afford and who your kid is. Most kids have video games of some kind. Most kids have phones of some kind they have access to. So I would start there with the things that your kid likes. If they love fancy shoes and you might buy them a pair of shoes every now and then, start with incentivizing their good grades on that. And so when they bring home all A's and B, or all A's and B's, whatever it is that is reasonable for your kid, incentivize them and reward them with those shoes that they really wanted, or with extra time on the phone, whether that's, you know, playing games, or maybe they want to chat with friends. You can, through screen time controls on Apple devices, and I know Androids have something similar, I'm just not as familiar with it, and we talked about that a little bit in the technology show a few weeks back. You can set time limits on the phone so that it essentially will brick itself, i.e. become useless to your kid after a certain amount of time or at certain times of the day. That is a huge lever in helping control what your kid's access to technology is, as well as incentivizing them doing homework, studying, getting good grades. You make it very clear of, hey, if you bring home these grades, and let them know, set them down, hey, these things are changing. We need you to be able to go to school every day this week. If you do that, then we will add an extra hour onto the phone. I don't recommend an hour, but we'll add an extra 30 minutes, let's say. And show them, you know, at the end of the day, hey, I see you've already earned an extra 10 minutes towards the phone. Good job. Thank you for going to school and getting there on time today. And this would be like, for example, of maybe you work early as a parent and your kid's responsible for getting themselves to the bus and to school or walking to school or whatever a little bit later when you are not there. You can incentivize that as a parent, even though you aren't actually there. In our next section, we're going to talk a little bit about how you respond when you get a direct communication from your child's school regarding behavior or academic concerns. I want to preface this by saying this is actually a big sticking point, because most frequently the kids who need the most support, both from the school and the house, are the ones who get the most phone calls. And as a parent, it is really easy to tune that out, or maybe assume that, oh, maybe they just don't like my kid, or maybe they're just a little bit, this isn't the right environment, so I need to change schools. And that might be the case, right? Maybe a school change is what's needed, but I want to be clear. The assistant principal or administrator is not lying to you. Schools are understaffed. The workload that that administrator has is wild. And if they are calling you, it is because your child has caused a problem. And that doesn't mean that your kid is a bad kid. It means actually that your kid just made a poor decision, and it's the school's responsibility to let you know that that decision happened, and they need your support in handling that decision. In that same vein, if your child's teacher calls, they also are not calling because they have nothing better to do but to pick on your kid. It is because they have an actual concern and they want your support in addressing it. And while we're on this topic and parent moguls, I also want to take a second to highlight dress code. Not every school across the country has dress code. Many do. Maybe it's actually a uniform, whatever it might be. If your school is one that does have a dress code, please ensure that your children come to school in dress code. It is no different than having a uniform that you have to wear to work, or maybe a certain standard of clothes that you are expected to wear. You don't get to go to work and do work things if you're not in the right clothes. Right? If you are in law enforcement, you have certain things and tools that you have to bring with you. If you are a plumber, there are certain things that you got to bring with you to work, that you don't get to go and do plumber things in a tuxedo. On the other hand, if you work the red carpet as a journalist, you got to wear a suit and look nice because you're, you know, you're shoulder to shoulder with all kinds of really wealthy stars and they're wearing all of these kind of elegant things. You don't get to show up there in your plumber outfit. It's the same thing at school. Schools will have a basic expectation of what to wear. Maybe it's certain prescribed shirts or jackets or whatever it is. Understand, as an administrator, we can't let that slide. Here's why. Like, you think, is it really that big of a deal if Susie Q and Maria wore the wrong pants? In itself, not really. Where it becomes a problem is if I let Susie and Maria slide on their dress code today, tomorrow I have 7 girls with the same problem. It's become that permission of, oh, we allow them to wear whatever when we have a clear standard, says the standard doesn't matter. And that everybody, it communicates to the other kids in that class, wear whatever you want, doesn't matter. They're not going to do anything, you're not going to get in trouble. And then it gets out of control and you have kids wearing really inappropriate shirts that say things like, I love hot moms. That's great. Keep that at home. That's enough for school. Or they come in and you have somebody smoking a blunt on the shirt. Cool. Actually, that's not cool, but we'll talk about drugs and that kind of thing in another episode. Don't wear that to school. And parents, stop buying that crap for your kids. Like, you're teaching your kids it's cool and okay to smoke weed. Like, really? Don't do that. And so we're not going to have those kinds of things at school. And so, yes, it is a big deal because of the domino effect. In itself, that one shirt that's out of dress code, probably not a big deal. Letting it continue, however, is a huge deal. And so that's why an administrator, an assistant principal, a principal, a teacher, whoever, is going to make a phone call and ask you to bring the appropriate clothes for that kid. All right, we are going to dive into our next section of our show, a new segment here called Kids Say. Yes, you heard it right. Kids Say, where we will talk about some of the stuff that kids are saying these days, some of the slang, maybe it'll make you laugh and hopefully teach you something. When you hear your kids saying it, you'll know what it means. So the one for today is 10 toes down, which I think is a really interesting literal metaphor. What it means is I really mean it. So for example, you might hear kids say 10 toes down, Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback of all time, meaning I really mean it, Patrick Mahomes is the best. You will most often hear this in some kind of back and forth argument, often not over anything very serious, but 10 toes down is your kids say slang of the day. And that's going to bring us into our final point for this show. I always suggest, as parents, look at the evidence of what's going on. I tend to believe the school. Of course, I also work in schools, and so I know the heart of a lot of these people, where they're coming from, what they experience on a day-to-day basis, and recognize what they're going through because I myself have been there. As a parent, I suggest you do the same thing, but don't be so trusting that you ignore all of the evidence in front of you that, hey, maybe actually there is a problem between the school and your kid. But also, look very objectively with that, and at the same time, work to trust the school. They're going to come to you with receipts. They're going to check and make sure before they get you involved that it actually is needed. And so this comes with my last word of caution is if you are called into a meeting for behavior of some kind, we see parents often who talk a big game and do nothing to back it up. So they come in to the meeting and they make all the promises in the world. Maybe they yell and scream. I had parents go crazy and, you know, threaten to beat their kid when they get home and spank them and all that kinds of stuff. And the following day, the kid does the exact same thing that we had a problem with yesterday. What that tells me is that when they got home, business was normal. There were no consequences. There was no spanking that this parent promised. Not that that's necessarily a good way to discipline your kids. There's much more effective means than doing that. But you going into the school office, the front office, whatever it is, and yelling and screaming and being out of control is teaching your kids that that is how you get your way. Essentially, you're telling your kid, by your behavior, throw a temper tantrum to get what you want. That's wild. We work with our 3-year-olds and 4-year-olds so that they don't do that. And then as a teenager, you throw a temper tantrum to get what you want. Like, what? That doesn't make any sense. Remain under control. Give kids consequences that make sense for them. For older kids, this is most frequently in my house. Limited video game time, limited screen time, limited ability to go out with friends. It could be extra chores. Maybe they have to pick up more of the dog poop or do dishes an extra day. Whatever that might look like, make it make sense for your kids so that it's clearly tied to their behavior at school, that when you misbehave at school, there will also be consequences at home in addition to whatever the school has to give. This is actually really about teaching integrity. And with your kid, like, you must do the right thing even when I'm not around. That's what's going to lead them to be a better, more successful, productive adult than the temper tantrum of, oh, we're going to do all this, that, and the other, and the nine, and then actually not do any of that. As what you're doing that moment is you're lying, and you're teaching your kid that it is okay to lie, and that's how you get what you want, which in this case isn't actually that your kid does better. It's that the school leaves me alone for a little bit. And that will do it for today's show. Go ahead and hit that like, subscribe, and follow button, and share this with somebody who you think might benefit or enjoy the content. Click that link in the show notes to submit some topics and have a question answered if you want to be featured on the show. Bye, y'all.